Well, thank you so much. It's a joy to be here tonight. I can't tell you how much it is a blessing to be here and stand in the pulpit of Brother Carter, who's been one of my heroes for many, many years. And him and I have pastored alongside each other here in Florida for over 40 years. And to see what God has done and is doing here and has done in the past is a blessing. And I know Wednesday nights are sometimes they're midweek service, you know. When I was growing up, I remember my pastor saying, Wednesday's a midweek service. It's a picker-up. It's a lifter-up. And I remember when I was a kid, when I was younger, we didn't have the washer and dryer like they have today. We had the old ringer, you know, the ringer. The ones had the, you know, you run them through. I always liked to have my brother and I do that so his fingers got caught. But anyhow, after they would get dry or run through there, we'd put them in a basket, take them outside, and we'd have a clothesline. How many know what a clothesline is? All right, still a few of you. We had a clothesline, and in the middle of that clothesline, of course, when you'd hang the clothes, it would start to droop in the middle. So we had a big 2x4, a big board with a nail in it, and we would take that on that line and prop it up right in the middle of that clothesline so those clothes and towels and sheets or whatever they were wouldn't hit the floor or hit the ground. And that was would prop it up. So that's what Wednesday night is, isn't it? It's a propper up, it's a picker-upper tonight. And so I hope that it'll be an encouragement to you tonight. I know some of us sometimes are carrying a lot of burdens and a lot of trials and tribulations of life. And, you know, that's part of the life, part of the living. Thank you. I may not need this, but if I do, it'll be available. Thank you. And as you think about the opportunities you have in life to be an encouragement to someone else, to be a picker-upper, if you please. And that's why we come on Wednesday night to pray and to pray for one another and encourage one another. If you have your Bible tonight, I want you to turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29. And if you'll look there with me, and if you can, I'd like for you to stand with me in reading of God's word if you can do that tonight. We'll read a few verses if we could, please, that I trust will be an encouragement and a blessing to you tonight. There in Jeremiah chapter 29, beginning in verse 10. Now, I sound like I'm a little loud. Am I a little loud? Okay. Sound like an echo. Okay. For thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word toward you in causing you to return to this place. For I know the thoughts that I have, or I think toward you, excuse me, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Then shall ye call upon me, and ye shall go after, shall go and pray unto me, and I will hearken unto you. And ye shall seek me and find me when ye shall search for me with all your heart. Father in heaven, I pray now your blessings be upon us tonight, that you would encourage us in the word of God and the things that we need tonight to be encouraged and to be a blessing to others. We thank you for the word of God and for what it means to us and for what we learn from the word of God. And tonight, as we think about these words of Jeremiah, recording of what God said and God's thoughts, that we might be mindful of what's going on even this day in this world in which we live, in the time in which we live. And we thank you, Lord, that you're real and that you're alive and that you're on the throne still. And you're still in control. There's no doubt about that. So bless us tonight. And when we leave here, may we say within our heart, wouldn't it be good to have been in the house of God? In Jesus' name we pray. And God's people said, amen. Thank you. Be seated, please. You know, there's verse number 11 says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. I thought about that thought where it said, God said, I know the thoughts that I think toward you. You know what that tells me tonight? That God thinks of us. God's thinking about us. God knows you. God You know, you're on God's mind tonight. Isn't that wonderful? You ever have somebody call you up and say, you know, you're on my mind today, and I just wanted to tell you that I love you and I'm praying for you, and I was thinking about you. Amen? Now, I know as you get older, and I'm moving in that direction, and you know, your mind doesn't always work quite the way it does. You ever get what we call senior moments, you know? You get a senior moment. Sometimes I'll walk out of a room and I'll be thinking of a thought, and I get out of the room and I thought, no, wait a minute, I lost my thought here. So I had to go back in the room and stop for a minute and pick up my thought. And then how many have experienced that? Okay, I'm not alone, I know that, amen? You know, talking about thinking and losing thing, or thinking, a preacher asked a lady one day, said, ma'am, do you think about the hereafter? She said, oh, pastor. She said, I think about the hereafter all the time. She said, I go upstairs and I go in the room and I go, what am I hereafter? She said, then I go downstairs and I go in the kitchen and I go, what am I hereafter? You know, the mind is a wonderful thing. It really is. And I've been reading a lot about it, and the impact of the mind the use of our mind and keeping our minds healthy. And they talk about exercising a mind. You know, women or men that do crossword puzzles as they get older, they say that's very good. I saw the other night, now I won't believe this, maybe you will, maybe you won't, I saw the other night, but now they're saying that coloring for older people is a good thing. Coloring. Did anybody see that on television? I saw that in the news. Coloring. And I thought to myself, and you know, I remember coloring, and you know, when you got to stay in the lines, you know what I mean? I got grandchildren that color better than I do. But I did hear about two elderly people who were having a little problem remembering things. They went to a doctor, and the doctor said, I want to encourage you now. If you just write these down, some things that you're thinking about, things you got to do, then you'll remember those and you won't forget them, and they'll be a help to you. Said, oh, that's a good idea. So they were sitting one night watching television, and the wife got a little hungry, and she said, I'd like some ice cream. He said, that'd be nice. He said, well, we got some in the refrigerator, and said, would you go in and get me some ice cream and put some chocolate syrup on it? He goes, yeah, I'll do that. She said, well, no, you better write it down, because you know what the doctor says, because sometimes we forget even when we go in the next room. He said, honey, the kitchen's right there. You want ice cream with chocolate syrup on it. Now, how can I forget that? Are you sure you shouldn't write it down? Well, I'll be all right. Well, he went in there, and pots and pans were flying, and noise was going on. About 15 minutes later, he came back with a tray, and he had two eggs, and he had grits on it and bacon. And she said, see, I told you should have wrote it down. You forgot the toast. I don't know where your mind is tonight, but I hope it's on the things of God, amen, for this moment. See, the devil works on our mind. The devil tries to draw us away, and the battle of the mind. Now, the devil doesn't know what you're thinking, but the devil is a great observer of human nature, and he knows how people act and react. And so he pretty well has watched you, or had his demons watch you, and they know what you're going to do in certain instances. And so temptation will come and things of this nature. But yet here the Bible tells us that God is thinking of us, and he knows us and what's going on. And here he comes to us every day. You know, the Bible tells us that his blessings are new every day. I'm so thankful for that. Amen. I'm thankful that I can get up every day and see God's blessings in my life. You know, when I was a little younger, notice I said a little younger, a younger preacher, I would hear some of the older folks I'd talk to, how are you doing today? And they say, well, pastor, I have some good days, I have some bad days. I thought, well, what does that mean? Good days and bad days, you know? I mean, I know what it meant, but I mean, I didn't quite understand what it meant till I became a little older. And there's good days and there's bad days. And, you know, you can get up one day and you can feel like $1 million, you know, all green and wrinkled, amen? And And then another day you get up and you feel lousy. You know, you look lousy. You know, you have a bad hair day. Of course, some of you don't have to worry about that. I realize that. And you know, as you think about thinking about you and thinking about others, God is thinking about you. And I want you to think about that with me for a moment tonight. First of all, I want you to notice that he has personal thoughts. He has personal thoughts. You see, he died for us on the cross of Calvary. And he's forgiven us of all our sins when we accept him as Savior and ask him to forgive us of our sins. And, you know, he said on the cross, Jesus said, "Forgive them, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Now, I believe when Jesus was dying on the cross of Calvary, I believe that he saw that crowd out there that was condemning him. But I believe he looked beyond that crowd and he saw this crowd. I believe he saw the world. He saw time to come, because the Bible said Jesus Christ the same today, yesterday, and forever. Amen. And when he said, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do," I believe he was talking about you and I. He was thinking about you and I. We were on his mind. You know, the Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, "But God commendeth," or proves, "his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Now think about that for a minute. "In that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us." Jesus Christ died 2,000 years ago, knowing that today, this moment, that you and I would be sinners, that the world would be in sin. God proved his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. See, because he was thinking about you. He had these personal thoughts that he cares about you. Now, you know, as a Christian, sometimes we're not as careful or caring for people like we ought to be. Sometimes we see some people and we just, we want to move on. You know, we get a little upset with people sometimes. We get a little impatient with people. You know, we look at somebody and we say, "Well, he's not Mike. Whatever, you know, and you know, it's amazing. Or, you know, maybe it's not the same personality, the same race, or same whatever. You know, Jesus Christ cares for everyone. Amen. He died for everyone, for the whole world, that the whole world could be saved. Now, we know the whole world will not be saved because people will not receive Christ, but he's made that provision. And he died that all men could come and be saved. And see, he was thinking about us. He was thinking about us when he gave us the Word of God, when he gave us the Scriptures. And I believe he was thinking about you and I today when he gave us the King James Bible. Amen. I believe today that when you open the Bible, you open the mind of God. Amen? And you begin to understand how God is thinking. And you know God's thinking about you because he loves you. You're on his mind tonight. You know, the older you get, the more you realize that people don't seem to care anymore. People don't call anymore. Even sometimes our children, they say, "Well, I don't hear from my children anymore." I talk to my children every day. I have a daughter in heaven, of course, you know, Jackie. And sometimes in my heart, I speak to her in my heart. I know we can't speak to the dead. I realize that. But she's still alive, and I know she's more alive now than she ever was. And sometimes I'll even tell the Lord, "Lord, just tell Jackie we love her and we miss her, amen. And pass it on to her, if it be thy will, if that's something you'll do." But you know, when I talk to my children and call them on the phone, or even my grandchildren, you know what I say to them before I hang up? "I love you. I love you." You know, I got three grandchildren in Naples, pardon me, and three in the Hollywood area where my son pastors. And I'll always ask the ones in Naples, I say, "How was school today?" And I got one granddaughter, every time I ask her anything, "How you doing? How was it?" She says, "I'm good. Good. Everything's good." And I said, "You have a bad day?" "No, it was good." And it's always good. And it was a good attitude, good thought. I said, "I just want you to know that you're on my mind." You know, texting, we get in this texting business, you know. How many have found that you've discovered texting? Not too many of you? I'm texting, you know what I'm talking about, with a phone? Oh, well, I didn't see many hands. They have cell phones today. You know what those are? Okay, anyhow, my father-in-law will be 87, and he's discovered he's had a cell phone, but he's discovered the smartphones. and he's discovered how you can send pictures and YouTube and all that. And he goes to bed early at night. And he called my wife the other day and said, I just want you to know that it was 12:30, almost 12:45 before I went to sleep last night. She said, why? She said, well, because I was listening to some gospel music, some singers, and it led to another one and another one. It took me back to the old times and the Kingsmen and different ones. He said, I just was listening to them and listening to them. He's just discovered YouTube. Amen. I get a kick out of that. I just love it, man. I really do. I think but anyhow, you know, when you think about the fact that God has personal thoughts and that you're on his mind because he's given you his word. And the Bible tells us, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. We are told in the word of God that he cares about us. And, you know, he's personal thoughts because in the word he told us he's going to come back again. The Lord's going to come back again. And I don't know about you, but I've always thought, when's that going to be? And I remember hearing him when I was a kid, when I was a young boy, got saved. I remember in our church, they put out these papers. Somebody put them out called The Rapture. And the picture had car wrecks on it, plane wrecks. And it said, will you be in the rapture? You know, and I said, what is this about? It was kind of scary when I first saw it. But you know, the Lord is coming. And we know he's coming soon. And so because he's coming soon, he's given us this personal thought, I want you to know that as he said here through Jeremiah the prophet, that you've been 70 years in bondage in Babylon. I'm coming to get you out of that. I'm coming again to give you that opportunity to be out of bondage. Jesus is coming back to take us away someday. Amen? Now, we need to be living in such a way that we're watching and we're waiting and we're involved in the work of the Lord. We don't need to just go up some mountain somewhere and take a 30-odd-6 and a pack mule and that kind of stuff and just hang out. I don't believe we need to do that. I think we need to occupy till he comes. Amen? We need to be involved in things of God. I remember when I was in Bible college, they were preaching about the second coming, and I thought, Lord, don't come yet. I got to get married. You college kids know what I'm talking about, amen? I got to get married. I said, Lord, don't come. I got to have kids. I want you to come, but I want to have a family. You know, and so now I've had the family, and I've had children. I got grandchildren. So it's okay, Lord, you can come now, amen? But you know, you think about it. He is coming again, and he's given us this personal word that he loves us and cares for us. Second, not only are these personal thoughts, but I want you to know that they are peaceful thoughts. He said in that verse number 11, he says, that I've given you thoughts of peace and not of evil. Peaceful thoughts. Boy, I love that. You know, there are a lot of people today who do not have the peace of God that passes understanding. You know, a lot of people don't have peace at all. They're very, very troubled. Some of the most successful people in the world have been an unrest in their own hearts and minds. Just recently, one well-known comedian took his own life at 63 years of age. Probably one of the funniest men in many ways, even though he was very vulgar at times, but he was very talented. And it's amazing today how talented people think you got to be nasty to be funny. I mean, you know, you don't have to be nasty to be funny. All you have to do is just look around you and you'll laugh. People will make you laugh. Amen? Some of you are getting that now. It's coming to you. But peaceful thoughts. You know, the Bible says in the book of Isaiah, the 26th chapter and the 3rd verse, this is a great verse. And I want to tell you what it means to me. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Now I want you to think about that verse, because many times as you get older, things happen in your life and physical ailments come and problems that you don't expect and don't know. I've had some problems. As a matter of fact, I got a couple little places here. If you'll get a little close, you'll notice had some biopsy on it, and it's a little skin cancer. And so these are things that you face in life, and you know, life is uncertain. We don't know about tomorrow. That's why the Bible said, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest what a day may bring forth. Thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. We have no hope of tomorrow. Our hope is in him who knows tomorrow. Amen. But you know, when we go to bed, and when I go to bed at night and I'm a little restless, I can't sleep, I quote this verse of scripture. Some of you older folks tonight, let me give this to you and encourage you. Just lay there, pray, say your prayers, and start quoting this scripture. Thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. Say it and repeat it over and over. And by the way, you'll find out you'll fall right off to sleep because there'll be that peace and that serenity that God will give you. Do you know the Bible tells us in the book of Timothy in chapter 1, verse 7, he said that God's not given us the spirit of fear, but of love and of power and a sound mind. Amen. Now, you know, when I think about that sound mind, you know, this idea that God cares about our thinking, God cares about what's on our mind. And I believe that this has to do as we think and what God has for us. We understand that out of that comes wisdom. You know, to be able to learn to think God's way. What's it say in Romans 12, 1 and 2? I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto him, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and perfect will of God. Now, here's what's interesting. That you might prove what is, you know, the perfect will of God. The transformation of your mind. You know what that basically saying? Learning to think God's way. Amen. Learning to think God's way. And what's on God's mind ought to be on our mind. Amen. You know, we're told in the book of Colossians, the third chapter, that we're to set our affections on things above and not on things of this earth. And Jesus said to his disciples, I give unto you my peace. And he said, peace be unto you. Remember when it came to him in the upper room? So the Lord has peaceful thoughts tonight, not evil thoughts, but peaceful thoughts. He wants you to be at peace in your heart about some things, whatever you may be facing or whatever you may come into existence in your life. You know, it's important for us to understand that he cares about us. Now, I want you to understand this last point because I believe it's very important as we think about it. Not only does he want us to know that he has personal thoughts for us and peaceful thoughts, but thirdly, I believe that he wants us to know that he has powerful thoughts toward us. Now, what's that mean? If you'll notice, he says in the latter part of that verse, and not of evil, to give you an expected end. To give you an expected end. Powerful thoughts of an expected end. What does that mean tonight? That means this, that how will it end with you? You know, running a race, to run a race, you got to get in the race and you got to get started. But when you run the race to win, to finish. I heard about a race that went on and from different parts of the world and country, and one young man fell behind. He fell and I don't know if he twisted his ankle or maybe even broke his ankle, but he got up and he continued to run the race. Of course, the time he got back into the arena, most of the people had gone, the lights had been turned down, and the news media, some of them said, as they talked to him when he finally crossed the finish line, the race was over, of course, he said, well, why didn't you give up? Why didn't you stop? He said, you know, my country did not send me here to quit. My country sent me here to finish the race that was set before me. And you know what? God doesn't want us to quit. God wants us to finish the race. Paul talks about being in a race in Hebrews chapter 12. And we're to lay aside every weight and every sin that so easily beset us. And let us run with patience the race that's set before us. Now think about this and expect it in. You know, God, when I first got in the ministry years ago, 47 years ago, when I surrendered my life in a missions conference, I think I've told some of the story here. It was the last night of the conference and the last verse, and the pastor said, you know, I really believe tonight that somebody's going to miss God's will if they don't come. Well, I knew he was talking to me. I was assured of that. Man standing next to me, I said, you know, he's talking to me, he's talking to you. He said, he may be talking to you, but he's not talking to me. I said, well, I know he's talking to me, and I know he's talking to you because you're not living the way you should be living. And neither am I. And he said, well, you go if you want. I won't go. Well, I went. And that night, I surrendered my life to the Lord. And that night, I said, you know, I said, God, I didn't surrender to preach, per se. I just said, Lord, here's my life. Well, do with it whatever you want. I was a young man. And as I went forward that night and got my heart right with God and confessed sin in my life and said, Lord, from this point on, I'm going to do what you want me to do. I'm going to trust you for everything. And that night, my life changed. My wife was on the piano. She was my wife then. She was a young teenage girl on the piano. And we were talking about that coming up here tonight. And I said, I remember when you came by to shake my hand. I said, I didn't want to let your hand go. And I could tell you a lot of stories that happened that you wouldn't believe. And how God worked in our lives and put us together. That was in February 1966. And by April of 1966, she realized she was in love with me. Now, I knew I was in love with her before she knew she was in love with me, but I had to persuade her a little bit and help her to understand. I was a little bit older than she was. Plus, she had a bunch of these little boys around her, you know, that these guys that were, you know, wanting to date her and all that kind of stuff, and I had to kind of deal with them one by one. And because I had an expected end in my mind, you know, about some things. And so, as you think about God here, God says that I'll give you an expected end. What do you expect? I wonder if you died tonight, would people say that you made your life count for God? I wonder if people would know and say, there's a man or woman of compassion. Would they be able to say that you were a person that had a personal relationship with God? That you knew the Lord in a personal way and you walked with God? That man knows God. That woman knows God. Now, you know, when I surrendered my life, I had no idea that I'd be preaching like I'm preaching tonight at that point. I didn't know. But I was open to the will of God. I had made myself available for God to direct my life. And he did. And by the summertime, I knew I was to go to Bible college, and I went to Bible college. And I spent 4 years in Bible college, and then I graduated and came to Florida. And I've been in Florida ever since, and I thank God for it. I hope I never get the sand out of my shoes. I'm glad to be a Floridian, amen? And if you don't know who to vote for tonight, come see me afterwards. I'll be glad to tell you for the governor. Anyhow, think about it tonight. Would you think about what God is wanting you to understand tonight, that he has an expected end for you? Now, what does that mean? That means that he cares about you. Now, let's think about some of the characters of the Bible that God had an expected end. How about Job? Job had everything. He was a wealthy man. He had 10 children. He was blessed of God. And then all of a sudden, you know, the devil came and went to God and said, you know, have you considered your servant Job? And the Lord said, okay. He backed off on him. You know the story. And he said, you can do everything, but you can't take his life. You can't take his life. And, of course, that included his wife because they were one flesh. But what's interesting here is that he lost everything. And even his friends thought he was evil or problems in his life. Isn't it amazing how when your friends turn against you? By the way, you'll know when you have a friend when everybody leaves you and they come to you. That's a real friend. And so it's important for you to understand tonight that God had an expected end for Job's life. Because at the end of Job's life, and you can read the last book of Job, that God blessed him twice as much as he had in the beginning. Even the fact that he had 10 more children. Someone said, well, he had those first 10 are in heaven, and then he has 10 more than heaven, so that's 20. God has an expected end for your life. What's going to happen at the end of your life? I think tonight of a lot of preachers I've known, some that I've known, that have not finished the race. Some that have fallen by the wayside. Men that I respected, men that I knew. And I learned a long time ago that we can't keep our eyes on men. We got to put our eyes on God. Amen. We got to look above men. Amen. Now, we're to look to men in leadership, but we need to look to God. And I think about Joseph. How about Joseph? Great character in the Bible. Amen. Tremendous man of God. Amen. A type of Christ. And you and I, as we understand Joseph, I mean, he ended up in the pit, and we see the trials that he had. Then from the pit, he ended in Potiphar's house. Then from Potiphar's house, he ended up in prison. And then from prison, he ended up in the palace, and he had the triumph and the victory that God wanted him to have. All because he believed God. You remember, even though when Potiphar's wife tried to tempt him, he said, how can I do this great sin against God and against your husband? I want to tell you something. You know, some people say, well, you know, if things go good, you think, well, boy, I must be doing right, you know. Things are happening good for me. But what about when things are not going right? Things didn't go right for Joseph. And he suffered for doing right. And it's interesting for you and I to realize tonight that we need to keep doing right no matter what the outcome is and believe God. Then how about Ruth? What a great character in the Bible. You know, Ruth had married one of Naomi's sons, and he died, and the other son died, and here they were in this land. And in chapter 1 of the book of Ruth, you see the famine that was taking place. I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We don't know what is in store for America. We don't know what's in store for this world. We're talking about the things that are going on today. And by the way, you know, there's a ministry that's down in Haiti. I don't know the ministry, but they function somewhat out of our city somewhat because they draw from a lot of wealthy people. But they're feeding a lot of people. There are kids down in Haiti that are eating dirt. They got nothing to eat, so they eat dirt. And I saw this on their program, and this kid died from eating dirt, eating mud. You see, people today are suffering all around the world, and America doesn't really realize what they have and what God's done for them. Now, what is the expected end of America? I don't know. If America doesn't turn back to God, judgment's going to come.
That's right.
And no doubt about it. But God has an expected end in their life, just like he did for Ruth. In chapter 2, you see her in the field. She's gleaning in the field. And then in chapter 3, she's at Boaz's feet in the ceremonial aspect of what was later take place. And then in chapter 4, you see the fruit of it, the fact that she's married and she has a child. And of course, we know that through the line of Ruth came David. And you and I understand tonight that through that line came the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right.
It's important for us to understand that God has an expected end for your life. Don't give up. Don't quit. Don't say, well, I just can't do it anymore. No, that's not the way it ought to be. God has an expected end for your life. You know, the Apostle Paul said in the book of Philippians, he says, my earnest expectation is, and my hope is, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, so now I shall magnify Christ in my life, whether it be by life or by death. It's important for you to understand tonight that God wants you to keep on keeping on, because he has you on his mind. He's thinking about you tonight. And sometimes when you think nobody cares, God cares. Do you believe that tonight? Say amen.
Amen.
I hope you'll believe that. I hope that'll be a help to you. Let's pray. Father in heaven.